And we are back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 373, with Mr. Jace Rival, the host of the Cancel This Podcast. And we've been trying to set this up for a while, I think, actually.
Yeah, it's been rough because I have like the worst schedule in the world. I have one of those lives where like everything happens all at once. So it's like, when I plan something, all of a sudden it's like, oh, someone in my life had a car accident. Someone in my life's pet died. Someone in my life got hit by a brick. Like all sorts of stupid Yeah, like it gets to the point where it's ridiculous in my life. And then of course, my day job too. I'll go from either having absolutely nothing to do or every company I work with, like haranguing me all at once. Like email, text. Where are you? I'm asleep. It's like 11:55 at night.
Yeah, that'll happen on like my days off too. It's like you think you wake up, there's nothing to do. You have a cool, calm morning. All of a sudden, bam, just something happens and just takes your entire day up. Actually,
that's been my day most of today. Actually, that actually was today. My mom, she works, in hairstyling, but she works at like a nursing home, and the new boss, so to speak, which is not a boss because she's an independent contractor, and her had a falling out. So she's like, she's trying to call the cops on me. I'm like, oh my God, this is what I wake up to. So I go deal with that. Then I go hang out with my girlfriend. I love my girlfriend to death, but you know, her cat passed away this week, 15 years old. Aww, yeah, 15 years old. So she's had that cat since she was a teenager. So she's about going to be 32 this year.
I know how she feels because my ex-girlfriend, they have a cat about that age too, like 16 years old. They've had that cat since they were like little kids, actually. Oh, yeah. It's weird. I don't know how that cat's still alive. It functions normal. She walks around.
You want to hear the worst part? I had a cat who died last year. He was 23.
Yeah.
I thought that there would be nothing left on the earth but roaches and that cat.
God. You said 23 years? I mean,
he was 23 years old.
That must have fucking sucked when he left. He's even around you your entire life.
Exactly. So he's been, since I was a kid. So it's like, wow.
How did you guys keep him healthy enough to live that long? Because usually they're supposed to live to like their 8, 9, 10. Yeah. That's the usual average span.
See, that's the thing. We just regularly just fed him and took care of him and loved him. He outlived two other cats that we had with him at the same time. And he outlived them because they died around 14, 15. But he lived to be 23 somehow. And I'm like, oh, he just got too much spite to go. So,
yeah. Well, let's start here. How was your life growing up, actually?
Oh, mine?
Yes.
Pretty good. I mean, you know, as a child of the 80s, I mean, I sort of grew up in that last era where you could be just completely unfiltered and not have to worry about anything. And coming in, you know, the 80s, 90s, I mean, you know, I see a lot of the way things are today, but I'm grateful for my upbringing because I feel bad for a lot of the young people who don't know anything else. Like, I mean, I remember growing up when there were no cell phones, there was no internet, there was no anything that you could do. You know, you had to go outside and play. And if your parents wanted to get you, they couldn't call you. They had to scream from the terrace, like, hey, come back for dinner. Like you hear them from like the buildings, like a couple miles down. I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go.
After the Saturday morning cartoons, they tell you, you're going outside.
Exactly. And don't come back.
Yeah. Don't come back until like 5.
Yeah, exactly. Don't come back. Cause me and your mom are going to be doing something that you don't want to catch us doing.
Oh, shit. So how was life after school?
After school was all right. I mean, it was sort of weird because you can laugh. I came in and after, you know, coming off of high school, going to college, I thought I wanted to get into, at the time, don't laugh, everybody, journalism. And then, like, after like 5 minutes of hearing about what that entails, I'm like, nope, absolutely not. I will not be a propagandist. That's my problem. I'm too honest to be a journalist. I'm too honest to be a games journalist. It's just not happening. You know, because like I was growing up, when I was growing up, there was like EGM, GamePro, GameFan, all these video game magazines. So I'm like, that sounds like the life. You get to write about video games and you get paid for it. Mm-hmm. And now I realize that, you know, what we're all realizing right now in 2024, these people are maniacs. They're nuts.
Yeah. They really lost it when It's crazy. Donald Trump winning basically broke their brains.
Yeah, yeah. It was just this form of absolute psychosis. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, I grew up in New York City. So I grew up, and this man was not a racist a day in his life until he ran against one political party. All of a sudden, now he's public enemy number one. But, you know, like if you grew up in New York City, nobody had anything bad to say about him, especially not, you know, any, you know, quote unquote minority, black, Hispanic, because he was always good to people. He tipped well. He was nice to people. He was never an ass like a lot of these celebrities are. You know, he didn't turn up his nose at people. So, like, you know, that's the way that I gauge people. It's like, I don't gauge you based on what somebody else said. I gauge you based on what you show a, you know, a community flat out. And the man never did anything bad. You know, I mean, New York City, the man was beloved in New York.
Huh? Yeah, because you said you grew up in New York. Man, that state is
it's
trash.
It's gone. I will not go back even to visit. Like, I've told my girlfriend, it's like, I want to, it's weird because I want to show her where I like grew up, but I refuse to go back in the state that in the condition that it's in now. The crime, the pollution, the lack of any law, they've got everything going on from a crime problem to a rodent infestation to not picking up the garbage. I don't know what happened to that city, but it's not. I don't miss it. I don't miss it. And the only thing I maybe miss is a good slice of New York pizza and the New York Yankees. Other than that, you know, that place could get like just eradicated off the face of the earth. And I don't think I care all that much. I'm down here in the South now. It's better.
You're in down South, like Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah. Atlanta.
Oh, shoot. People would say even that place is pretty dangerous, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I live on the outskirts where it's sort of safer, but you know, basically the way when people say Atlanta, they mean like everything. It's basically everything is Atlanta. Even like what's not officially Atlanta, people just say it for convenience's sake.
It's crazy because like you hear all these bad stories about like the Bronx. Oh my God, I've heard so many horror stories.
That's where I'm from. That specific part of New York. Really? I'm from the Bronx. I grew up in the Bronx.
Okay,
you all have to learn how to fight. It was like Fight Club.
Remember that Cardi B story where she was like saying what she would do to dudes in the Bronx, getting them tricked and getting them booty graped?
Oh,
does that happen often there?
Not that I remember. I mean, I left, you know, I didn't grow up fully in New York. I left about the time I was a young teenager. But I mean, growing up in New York, even from my adolescence to my teens, I mean, I will say that if there was one thing going on, there was a lot of fighting. There wasn't a whole lot of the other F word because of the fact that, again, at that time I was sort of young, you know, so didn't really get too heavily into too many romances in New York while I was there. But got into a lot of fights.
Good Lord, man. Freaking crazy. New York. I'm sorry. I also hope to get out of that state. That state is trash.
Exactly. You know, but back in the day, I mean, again, it wasn't so terrible in the 80s, but now it's just a nightmare zone. I mean, I remember, look, I used to, with my friends up in the 80s, we used to get into fights over like really dumb stuff. Like, I remember getting the fist fight with my best friend over he cheesed me in Street Fighter 2. He corner trapped me with Chun-Li. I'm like, I've had it. I like dragged him out of the pizzeria and just like cheap shot at him. And it was like that Family Guy with Peter and the chicken. Like, for like a week, every time we saw each other, we were getting the fist fight. And then somehow a week later, we're like best friends again. Like it ain't nothing. It was like pro wrestling. It'd be like people would turn face and heel every single week in New York. It was like, okay, we're friends. Now we ain't friends no more. Now we're friends again. Now both of us are beating up this guy who screwed us over. Like, it was a time. I really, as much as it sounds violent, it was also boys will be boys at its core. Yeah. And society has sort of gotten rid of that completely. And we've seen the consequences of that. Over the past decade
now,
or so.
Now they believe in men can be women and dudes got to trim off their balls.
Yeah, everything is that Gillette commercial that you're a toxic human being. Oh, don't you dare. You're so toxic.
There was this Star Wars guy posting yesterday because of the Acolyte trailer. Literally, the post said, I can't believe there's so many of you people making jokes at the expense of women. I mean, it's like, what?
It's a terrible trailer. Look, I'm the type of person, I don't discriminate. I have a shirt that says I don't discriminate, I hate everyone. And the way that I take it is, it's not so much that I hate everybody, but I'm honest enough to tell you, either, you know, what you put out is good or it's trash. And just because you're a woman, just because you're a certain color, just because you vote a certain way, I'm not gonna hold back and just, you know, tell you that something is good that isn't. If you piss on me, I'm not gonna accept it when you tell me it's raining. And Leslie Headland, the acolyte, I mean, I looked at this trailer and it's obvious where she's at. She told us flat out that she was gonna do nothing but identity politics. That's where we go. I see Carrie Ann Moss. Has Carrie Ann Moss ever played a straight person other than The Matrix? Because, like, I think she's a lesbian in just about every movie she's in. And so I automatically knew where we were headed with this. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of, and of course, a lot of people have to question, why the hell would you have Harvey Weinstein's assistant do anything to begin with?
But remember,
even those where several bodies are buried.
She was absolved of everything. Remember, it was all him. It's all his doing. Even though she led people to him because that was his secretary. Whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. Women can't do no wrong, man. Women could literally do the most heinous shit ever and people would still make excuses for them. They would
kids. Ghislaine Maxwell is in jail for the Epstein stuff. But you mean Headland? Leslie Headland is just walking free? Like, come on now. That's ridiculous, man.
That's how it works. Exactly. Women privilege. Women get away with everything. No matter what it is. The only thing that I've seen women consistently go to jail for is maybe if they killed their kids. That's remember how we saw yesterday? There was that lady that went to like Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And she left her kid starving. It's like, bro, nah, jail. Nah, you need to go to jail. Nope. Yeah. Make sure the black lead lesbians in there grape your ass. You're getting choked and fucked in there.
Well, I think you get to go if you're conservative. There's been a few conservative influencers who are getting J6'd really late in the game right now that are female, that happen to be female. But it's just absurd, like the society, this two-tier justice system, it's obvious and we can all see it. And it's sad. That's what it is. It's sad.
Because I'll ask you, since you have the podcast that you have, how did you start getting into content creation, like on YouTube? Who did you watch initially?
Well, initially, I mean, I watched a lot of stuff like, a lot of stuff like I saw what Geeks and Gamers was doing. I saw what like Nerdrotic was doing, Quartering, Yellow Flash. All these guys, you know, Heel versus Babyface, Eric July, all these people. And, you know, I've always sort of worked a little bit on content. Like I'd done like audio only type of stuff. Okay. But as we came into the pandemic, my co-host John was like, I want to try it on like a video format instead. You know, because we had different podcasts for years and, you know, different names and different iterations. But we had started it, at least from the current incarnation on Facebook, on video. It was doing pretty well. People were like, you know, starting to dig it. But the problem is, as you start to get more momentum on Facebook, that's when the algorithm kicks in. That's when everything sort of starts kicking into overdrive. And then as far as YouTube is concerned, I'm a little bit late to the game on YouTube. So it was like, by that point, I already started to see that a lot of the younger, fledgling, newer channels were getting sort of just like nuked because YouTube sort of lock the door behind everybody past a certain date and time where it's like, all right, well now, you know, if you're established, like you've been on here a while, a lot of people have been on here a little while, you don't have as much to, I mean, you still got to sort of play within the lines, but it's harder for them to knock you out without somebody saying something. But like, if you're just starting and you have like only like a half dozen followers so far, like, and you say stuff they don't like, which I pretty much run afoul of YouTube all the time. I'm like, they're just going to nuke you. So I pretty much a focus primarily on Odyssey and Rumble. And then we started adding sort of other streaming services like DLive, Kick. We have Pilled and we have ourvoice.stream, which is one of the newest ones that we're on, which is a great platform. And so we've been on these, you know, alt tech platforms because there is a lot less of this. Well, the ever changing rules. And that's one of the things I find that I take umbrage with YouTube is you'll not break a rule 1 week. And then like 3 months later, they'll pass a rule and retroactively apply it to what you've already put out. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm not dealing with that kind of drama. So primarily we've been using Odyssey and Rumble and alt tech platforms. And I've had a good time doing that because we've been able to be unfiltered, which is something we weren't able to be doing Facebook Live, which was awful. It's still awful. They still always are messing with us just for posting memes. Your meme is too spicy. You got 30 days off.
the thing with YouTube is they indirectly would give Rumble a bump in people because if they just get rid of someone's channel, Like, yeah, that bigger person just goes to Rumble, their fans go, and they just make a living over there. Now, the thing with Rumble is, like, conversion rates are really hard to make happen. You know, it's really hard to get your YouTube subscribers to follow your on your Rumble account.
Oh, Twitter, absolutely, because people are set in their ways. It's very difficult.
People plant their flag one place and they stay until it literally gets nuked. That's when they leave.
Exactly. And I've seen that, you know, with big tech and going over to alt tech. That is why the situation with Elon Musk and X is such a big deal, because taking over Twitter, turning it to X, whatever the case may be, it has cultural staying power.
Yeah.
So that was pretty powerful. Whether you like the man or whether you agree with him or not, there are things that Musk does that I don't agree with. I'm not going to let him cut into my brain and put a chip in my head any damn time soon. But, you know, aside from that, it was such a cultural victory because, yes, you can move over to Gab, you can move over to Minds, you can move over to True Social. But what you find a lot when you move to alt tech is a lot of the time it's a glorified echo chamber where you're just sort of screeching into the void. And what happens is people start arguing with you because they have a lack of people on the other side to argue. So now it's like, oh, you're not far right enough for me because my far right involves this and this. My far right involves hating video games, like Matt Walsh the other day got sort of dragged by everybody on Twitter for. And so you're not a part of that. Like, you're a degenerate because you like all of these comic books and all this stuff. You know, because they associate it, they conflate it with the current state of the culture war where it's indoctrination stationed by leftists. That's not the case. When I grew up in the 80s and 90s, like you can play a video game. Look, Optimus Prime never talked to me about Ronald Reagan. Just saying. So it was completely a different animal. It's not like today. Now Optimus Prime, you know, the powers of me. Well, we'd like Optimus Prime to talk to you about the Orange Man being bad. The Orange Man is way worse than Megatron.
Oh, God. That was the crazy thing is they thought they had like this big giant foothold on the industry. And then when people kind of figured out when the allure of Hollywood was kind of over and a good amount of people kind of saw what was going on and they saw like executives, producers, talent working on the movies, TV, the animation departments started coming out and saying certain things, they were like, I'm going to give you my money. And when enough people started to not give them their money, things are looking pretty bad. I mean, legend, very recently, you remember the interview with Dakota Johnson before Madam Web came out and it failed, where she was like, it looks pretty uncertain right now for Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Movies now, we don't even know if they're going to even break even, let alone get profit.
I mean, look what happened with the American Society movie just now. $1 million. And a lot of people don't realize that's not even really $1 million they made, because once you cut it up with the advertising budgets and everything else, they bring back only very little of that money.
And by very little, you mean nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well count it in pesos to feel better about themselves.
But, people don't forget. You have to, because it's only released domestically. So, and you have to pay, obviously, the theaters get a cut of that because you can't be running your movie in there for free. Yeah, that movie ain't making you nothing. They basically just did that out of essentially just the goodness of their own hearts.
Just for the laugh. Not making
money.
Just for the laugh, I want to see them release it in China to see what happens. Because we know that China is unapologetically racist. They are not going to see that movie. These are the people that took Black Panther off the Black Panther movie poster. Hey, we're just going to cover them up with a mask. We don't like anybody.
I just find it really crazy that at this point, not just Dakota Johnson. So if Dakota Johnson's saying that it's uncertain in the industry, other people probably feel that too. I mean, they know their movies barely make money, because if any of those actors start saying some bullshit, people go, not supporting. It's just that simple at this point.
Exactly. And I think part of the problem with Hollywood, and it's beyond politics, is that the curtain was pulled back because these people got addicted to the dopamine hit of social media. Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill is a great example. Now, Mark Hamill, as an actor, as a voice actor, as a man who has honed his craft, we love Luke Skywalker. We loved his work as the Joker. But then this man gets on Twitter and he runs his mouth and he alienates 50% of the people who love his work because he wants to push a political agenda. How about you keep the political agenda private like people used to back in the day and not alienate your audience? Working in advertising, this is something that I've learned, is you never talk about politics, you never talk about religion, because you're going to alienate a large portion of your audience if you do. And somehow I feel like all of Hollywood collectively slept out that day. You know, it's kind of hard to sympathize with them when they're talking to you and you're sitting there living paycheck to paycheck, working every day for years, and they're telling you something, well, do what we say because we know better than you. Mm-hmm. No, you're just luckier than me, maybe prettier than me, but you ain't better than me. And when you talk to me like that, that resentment does carry over. Suddenly I'm less inclined to watch your movies. You serve me, not the other way around. The customer is always right. It's not, and that's what it is. It's the customer is always right, not shut up and consume. Mm-hmm. And Hollywood has not listened to the customer for a very long time.
Yeah. And that's the other big problem with Hollywood is they think they were so on top of the world that the people were just going to eat up whatever they put out, no matter what it was. And at one point, it really was that. At one point, like a random action movie on like an $80 million budget would come out and make like $500 million because they just had that kind of pull with people. But now, because like, I think they ended up screwing themselves, man, the whole streaming aspect, because they initially thought, oh, we're just going to move to digital, no physical media, it's going to be super easy. I don't think they realized if you just moved everything to digital and just put streaming, well, going to the movie theaters costs a lot of money. Most people exactly. were just like, you gave them the easier option. You told them, sit at home and watch this.
The price is inflating a lot. I mean, the price has inflated dramatically from when I remember going to the movies a lot. And the quality has declined in the movies themselves in terms of what they're offering. You know, there's no motivation for me to come see a movie to some guy who's sitting on Twitter all day saying that everybody who doesn't watch his movie is a racist. Well, why do I want to give you my money? Why do I want to spend, which is now in upwards of like $25 a ticket, all right, in some cases for like IMAX and everything else, plus like almost $30 in freaking snacks because you're gonna get hungry. You go in, that movie theater popcorn smell is like kryptonite. I mean, it just gets you every damn time. And for what? And then the movie is out in 2 weeks on demand on the internet. Or if it's not on demand on the internet, the Chinese have pumped it out onto the Pirate Bay and I can see it for the price of zero. Why would I bother? And again, with the quality being questionable, because you know that you're not going to get honest reviews anymore. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people have bought and paid for reviewers. You know, your word of mouth with your own social circle is where you get the best reviews. Like when we go on Twitter and we see other content creators and we're like, this is great or this is awful or this is worth it or this is not. That carries more weight with me than look, mm-hmm. Critical Drinker's word carries more weight with me than Siskel and Ebert's freaking word ever did.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we're at now. And so the problem with a lot of these companies is they thought that they would do things their way. They live in their bubble. They don't really know how to relate to anybody anymore. And everything is either a reboot, a remake, a reimagining, mm-hmm. or one of these stupid things. But the word I'd like to use for all that starts with R-E is retarded. It is terrible. It is not good. It's just, it's not quality. And if it's not quality, then why would anybody waste their time, their money? People are trying to get things done. Hollywood, pretty much another problem with Hollywood, which really hurt them, is the fact that the revolution of video games has hurt them. You know, two-hour movie or you know, for like I said, almost $50 if you're bringing two people. Or a game that takes like 40, 60 hours. Mm-hmm. What am I going to get more for my money out of?
Cause you've seen the Sweet Baby Inc. situation, have you?
Oh, absolutely. I've been covering it nonstop because there's just so much to say about it. I've been covering that like before it was really like getting, mm-hmm. you know, the major traction. Like a few months ago, I was talking about it, and I've been sort of covering a lot of this. And this is a lot of stuff that I cover is a lot of this stuff. And I sort of noticed the patterns like back in 22. The government was already paying and greasing the wheels of Homeland Security to start investigating gamers for extremism, which is just basically anybody that doesn't vote for the current administration. So that's basically where we're at with that. And I started noticing that. And I started noticing the Sweet Baby Inc. around the time. I think where I started really picking up on it was around the fact that Spider-Man 2 had come out. And there were just so many weird sort of cringe moments where they were trying to pander. For example, Miles Morales being half black, half Puerto Rican, but yet you put a Cuban flag on the wall because you're not really even paying attention. I'm like, this is how woke you want to be, is you don't even know which culture you're pandering to. Like, come on now. You know,
you saw that video of that black girl where she was basically saying how much she doesn't hire white people, basically promoting segregation, only to then say, well, she put it out where, oh God, oh my goodness, how stupid, this is how stupid these people are. They'll say like, hey, I don't hire white people, microaggressions, but they don't actually create an unsafe environment. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, she contradicts herself. And that's, then it,
that might have been the worst video I've ever seen, ever.
It doesn't pass the, what I call the racist test, is just change the race that you're talking about when you talk about white people. And if it sounds racist as fuck, if you change the word from white to black, then you're being an asshole to the white people you're talking about. You know, you are being racist. Like, if you had said, I don't hire black people, how would that have sounded? Mm-hmm. It would have sounded really bad. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing that these people have such a lack of self-awareness. When they're called out on it, they play the victim. They scream, they cry, they complain. They say that you're victimizing them. There are no victims, only volunteers. And then usually they lock their accounts that they can't be replied to because they're so afraid of criticism. And by the way, if you work in any kind of art, art is meant to be criticized, whether you like it or not. So how can you put out anything and then say, I'm just going to run from the criticism? If you can't take constructive criticism, then get out of the game.
Happens all the time at this point now. You'll have like people like Alyssa Mercante be like, you can't be racist against white people. And then in the same vein on a podcast with that one monkey, Blur Without Fear, and his other double stinky fat ape, they're like just hearing this and going like, yeah. And she's ever telling them some bullshit. Like, she was like, I don't hate white people as I am one. It's like, your headline on your Twitter bio says you can't be racist against white people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? Just absolute idiots. Like, these people, like, literally just huff their own farts and like, the sound of their own voice. It's
these
disgusting.
These people are so gone. And what kills me about it is this, and you know this, and I know this. Now, I'm a Puerto Rican, you're a black man, and these are white liberals that are saying this will say, I'm doing it for you, and before they've looked at your skin color, they will argue with you, and they will dogpile on you, and I've seen this on, like, on Twitter and on Facebook, where I'm like, you should not race swap this character. And suddenly it's like six white guys who are all soy boys. They all have the face like in their profile or a COVID booster, COVID booster border. Mm-hmm. And they're like screaming at you about what a POS you are, a piece of shit you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're calling me the racist, but last I checked, compared to y'all, I'm a whole lot darker. I've got that whole evil Ryu complexion going on.
Yeah.
So
you know. That's the big issue that no one's even seen so far. The one you brought up, which is like, wait a minute, you guys aren't even. It's crazy how they parade as like these saviors of these marginalized people, being like white liberal people that live in like good neighborhoods. I don't have.
You ever see that meme from Game of Thrones of Daenerys Targaryen and it's all the black people lifting her up? That is literally how these Kotaku, Verge, PC Gamer, games journalists see themselves. And the thing is, I didn't ask you for that, and I don't owe you a damn thing for that.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. They do it because they assume that you're old. And I said this, I think that I said this in a video the other day, that they don't really engage with any of the cultures that they claim to represent to understand a lot of the way it works. Because if you talk to a Hispanic family, if you talk to a black family, a lot of black and Hispanic families are a lot more traditional than this current sort of woke sort of thing. If you come in to a Hispanic household and you're a dude and you're wearing a dress, they're gonna get you right the hell out of there. You are never too old for your mother in a Hispanic family to beat you over the head with a chancla and tell you, I brought you into this world. I will take you out and make another just like you. Well, mom, you've already hit menopause. I don't care. I will make another just like you. I'm like, what? I don't even want to know.
Games journalists. And then the games journalists that I've seen that have come out and defended these people are either one, black. There was a guy with like dreads that were like pink beads.
Yeah.
Looking like a fucking reject from the Black Panther movie. There was this Troon coming out who took that one black guy's tweet out of context, but she was like, I only took it, I was taking it out of context, but it doesn't change the context in which I was referring it to. I was like, it doesn't even make logical sense. If you take something out of context, you deceive people. by what the actual full context is. It doesn't matter what you say. You are intentionally deceiving someone if you leave out an important message, a part of it. It's like,
well, what a lot of these game journalists have done is they've talked about the Sweet Baby Inc. situation, but they've left out the part where Chris Kindred tried to cancel Cabrutus Rambo for the Sweet Baby Inc. detected steam curator. Now, that's a vital part of the story, which is you fired the first shot in the war, and now you're receiving backlash. Of course you're receiving backlash. You're receiving backlash because it wasn't just that you wanted the list taken down. You wanted his personal Steam account removed, him banned from Steam, his collection of games confiscated from him, because that's the problem dealing with digital only, is that if you get banned from Steam, you get banned from Game Pass, your collection is kaput. That's why I don't like a lot of this "you will own nothing" digital media. And you called for that, which is an egregious thing to a gamer. And then you otherized gamers. You said the gamers have come for me. Well, if you're not a gamer, what are you doing in the gaming industry? Mm-hmm. You're an activist that was uninvited, that came in here and tried to tell us how to live our lives. And that's not your business. Make a game that we want to play, and then, you know, F right off.
Just these are the same people that'll be like, it's hard to make games. And okay, so if it's hard to make games, and I don't doubt it's probably harder pretty much make a game, well, then make it good. Then make it a game that people want to play then. No one wants to sit there and play a fucking game where they're getting talked down to. People talking about pronouns and shit. Like, that's the last thing you want to play a game for.
I've seen about three games this week that all look exactly like Forspoken. And I'm like, that game was garbage. And you're making more of them? We found copies of Forspoken in the garbage on videos. Like maybe not the game you want to emulate, all right? Aside from the fact it's poorly optimized, it's clunky, it didn't even work on computers with NVIDIA 3000 series cards. That's what you want to emulate, aside from the cringe dialogue, the wokeness, and everything else. That game was an absolute disaster. It was so bad the CEO of Square Enix had to step down after that game came out. And so why is Bandai Namco walking right off that same cliff? Because they've you know, sort of inhaled their own farts to the point they believe that just because they're the publisher, because they're not exactly the developer. The developer is FromSoft. Because they're the publisher behind Elden Ring, that's enough to carry some weight. It's not going to work. Gamers are much smarter than that. They don't like being patronized. They don't like their intelligence being insulted. And that's a problem. At the end of the day, all of the social justice in gaming is insulting the intelligence of the gamer. And we don't like that. You know,
they've seen all these games get popular while not talking down to people like Fortnite. You have Helldivers. Like Elder Scrolls, Helldivers, right? There's plenty of Pal World. Game came out. People like, oh, I can just kill whatever version of that thing. That's actually this thing is Pokemon. I can kill animals. Great. Super simple. You know?
Yeah. Pal World didn't feel the need to tell you what they sexually identify as and where their stance on climate change and the 2024 election is. And so I feel like people who do that don't have anything else interesting about their lives or anything to say. Mm-hmm. They literally live their identity politics to the point there's nothing else about them.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It's like sad. That lady you're talking about with the Acolyte trailer. You know that freaking line of bullshit she gave out in that interview people saw and clipped out yesterday? She was like, if I'd seen this as a gay person growing up, it's like, what is with these people and their only personality trait is their sexuality? There's nothing more interesting about them is that they lick carpet and suck dick. That's it. That's all I got.
You know, I was actually talking to my mom about this, because my mom was a hairstylist when I was growing up in New York, right? So this is the 80s we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So when you're a hairstylist in the 1980s, you're around a whole lot of gay people. A lot of gay people. She was friends with a lot of people who were gay and lesbian. And she told me the thing that she didn't understand is why everybody today needs to wave a flag, have a flag in their bios on their names and everything else. Because the gay people in the 1980s, they weren't ashamed of who they were. They weren't ashamed of what they were. But they didn't feel the need to wave a flag in your face and talk to your children about it. And she said, look, I love my friends, but if they had talked to you about it as a child, I would have had to have ended somebody's life. That was her attitude towards it, you know, because that was the acceptable attitude in the 1980s is do what you want to do. Just don't, you know, bring it around my kid and don't make a scene of it. And we're cool. You see what I'm saying? It's funny because I think about like what I've seen over the past 40 years I've been alive. And people become less tolerant because of the fact that these people want to beat everybody over the head with these things. I don't have a problem with anybody over anything until you make it a problem by beating me over the head with it. If you demand fealty, and that's the thing. By the way, if you're comfortable with yourself, if you're confident with yourself, when we talk about things like the body positive movement, like the LGBT agenda, like all this stuff, you don't need validation from anybody. You don't need validation from Hollywood. You don't need validation from video game. You don't need validation from people on social media. If you're confident in who you are as a person, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. And that's how you know that, their whole life philosophy is inherently wrong, because they feel the only way to feel complete is to beat you over the head with it and get you to clap and say hooray for them. It doesn't matter if somebody agrees with me or disagrees with me. How I live my life is how I live my life, flat out, period. I don't need to justify it or validate it or demand validation and a stunning and brave round of applause for myself. That's not how life works. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people have been too coddled to believe that that's exactly how it does, and that if you don't agree with them, you're bullying them, which started around the time of the first Obama administration. And I said, in 18 years...
Yeah, because it just kind of feels like this is some weird narcissistic validation these people need.
Well, you know, when it started, when I say that about the Obama admin, is I don't know if y'all remember like the anti-bullying mandates, like back in the day, like WWE had to be a star, and there were a few others, and there was like the no hate campaign with the number 8, and all of these anti-bullying movements, and Obama and Michelle, Big Mike. You know, went on this big tirade about how important it was to counter bullying in schools. Now, I just told you about the 1980s. Like, I used to get in fights all the damn time, right? Like, and I never once felt exactly bullied. And if somebody was bullying me, the answer was from my father: kick his ass or don't come home. Don't come home till you kick his ass. If somebody puts their hands on you, you hit them back twice as hard. If they're mean to you, you be twice as mean to them verbally. Like, that's how it was, right? But this bullying thing, and what happened is the definition of bullying, the goalpost initially got moved, where bullying went from somebody, like, literally ganging up on you, hurting you, demeaning you, to literally just anybody who disagrees with you. And I said then to some friends, I said, in about 18 years, we're going to have a problem, because the people learning this are going to be adults. They're going to be voting adults, and they're going to put everything on its ass. And it's one of the things that I wish that I had been wrong about, because we're seeing it in the culture. We're seeing it in video games. We're seeing it in movies. We're seeing it in every walk of life, where these people have grown up believing that any disagreement is somehow hurting them in some capacity.
They call it, I didn't even know what a microaggression was until that black lady was spurting out her monkey speak. So I Googled it, because, you know, I'm a humble person. I don't know something, you know, I'll look it up. Mm-hmm. Man, that just feels like a made up word. I swear that is not a word. That is something that someone made up just so they could justify being in a echo chamber of segregation. That's literally what that feels like. It's like, so everyone doesn't know what it means. It basically means, like, let's say a black person walks past you and you would hide your wallet. You put your wallet in your pants, like, as if you like had it out. They would consider that a microaggression. It's like, what? What?
Yeah. Well, you know what the funny thing is? I put my wallet like in my pants if anybody's walking by me.
Yeah,
like anybody. I don't care if they're white, black, Asian, Indian. Yeah. I don't care. Like I do that because, again, you know, you have to be aware of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's funny that they say that it's a microaggression, but again, what they've caused is less tolerance around the board. Funny enough, the people I know who get called racist the most now are the most ironically tolerant people that I know. So figure that one out. You know. And I've said it before, they've used that word so much, they have watered down that term for racist to just be anybody who disagrees. Mm-hmm. Like, I've told people, like, you have to get to the point where you don't even care what they say, because you know that the way that they say it is not the way that it meant for you growing up. They want you to be on the defensive. They want you to preface everything with, I'm not a racist, but my answer to it is, I DGAF what you think of me. You know, like flat out, I'm not even going to defend myself. I'm just going to flat out say, this is my opinion. If you don't like it, kick rocks. But I'm not even, I don't owe you an explanation. You are owed nothing from this life. Definitely not from me. Now, if you want to talk about racism, maybe you should look at, you know, again, because it's usually white liberal soy boys. Look at your skin color, then look at mine and get back to me. You know? I was saying the other day, you know, we look at, like, for example, you know, Eric July.
Yeah.
His comics have sold. His comics have sold hardcore to people.
Yeah.
You know, even Yaira made over $1 million. It made more money than the American Society movie, right? But you know why that is? Because he's never made it about who he is in terms of his skin color or anything else. He's never, he's not there pushing his politics onto anybody. He's not there. It's not like a libertarian handbook when you pick up his comics. It is a comic book. Unapologetically a comic book, period.
Yeah.
It's not about the social issues.
His detractors or people that don't like him might be the most mentally ill human beings I have ever had the pleasure of, well, displeasure of interacting with on
Twitter. I've seen some stuff that I thought was particularly egregious. I believe that I think the worst one was some of these soys going to the grave of his grandfather. And I'll tell you, I mean, shout out to Eric July, you know, I mean, props to him, because if that had been me, I don't know if I would have been able to contain myself, tracking them down and going all Liam Neeson from Taken on them just because of the amount of disrespect that something like that shows. Mm-hmm. You know, that takes a great deal of resolve to see something like that and not just completely just want to, get even with people who do that. You know, and it's sad that there are people like that in this world, that you don't like somebody's politics or their opinions, so you're going to take it to that malicious level. And that's because these people want to demoralize you in any way that they can.
Yeah. Like, just even today, Ribbiverse Goalpost put out that the Buy Indie Comics Day Twitter account claimed that basically it's like that whole big thing of we don't condone this and this and this. Deleted the post, and at the time of us doing this episode of the Iron Man podcast, they deleted their whole Twitter account. They nuked their whole Twitter. They made another post. This other post was like 30 minutes ago. We were doing this, and it said, when you promote yourself and your brand is anti-woke, that's not really being subtle, is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. Why should anybody be pro-woke? Like, at this point, everybody's so tired of hearing about it. Like, and by the way, a lot of these people say, and a lot of these lefts will go, well, it's not, why do you even call it woke? It's just being a good person. You know what? If you have to tell somebody you're a good person, like, over and over and over again, you're probably not a good person. I'm just saying.
Like, Eric's never even freaking advertised his company as anti-woke. That's just something that people just made up in their heads. Yeah. It's literally, they made up something in their head that was never said just to get mad at something that was also never said just to make a narrative about something that never existed. I mean, that actually made a whole bunch of sense. Fucking hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ. Fucking weird people, dude. People get mad at shit you've never said just to get mad at something, just to just put a narrative out there.
Fucking everyone fringe. For double standards, they have no standards at all. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. I mean, it's pretty damn bad.
The MCU, how have you been, thinking about them recently, because they've been in the toilet recently.
Oh man, they've been in the septic tank. That's where they've been. It's absolutely awful, man.
If you guys don't know what a septic tank is, you don't want to be in that. Just saying.
I mean, I saw an article the other day that said Daredevil Born Again is looking to cast 4 transsexuals. I'm like, is this where we're at? Is this where we're at? But that's what your focus is. Not putting out a good. How many check marks can we put on our list? Like, this is the exact problem. And
did you read the Academy Awards, the requirements they needed to get a movie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I read those were so cancer. They were like, you have to have a person of a marginalized group, LGBTQ. You have to have a person of this many.
You know what? By their logic, by the way they've taken over everything, we're the fucking marginalized group. We're the gamers. We're the ones that aren't in with y'all. We're the marginalized group. So, like, what are you even talking about this one?
Like, fuck all their award shows. Why not you just get a group of your friends that like the same shit and just make your own award show? Or anything by that logic. Why do we... I'm saying they have their own place at some point still, I guess. But I told people, if you want to do any of your own talk shows, your own award shows for, like, movies, TV, anime, any of this stuff, just do it by yourself with a group of your fucking friends.
Exactly.
You don't need them, you know? Exactly. Like, we know awards are... Dude, I don't know if you've seen that Eminem short or that podcast he was on where he basically just said the Grammys are nothing but a bunch of nonsense. And Eminem's about his fucking to the left as a
Beyonce exactly. quote. He's gone left off a cliff.
He's literally, I mean, Eminem is a guy where he's like, hey, I fucking hate being white. It's like, bruh, just the mental gymnastics that this man is on. He basically called out the Grammys as they've already chosen the winners. So basically what he said for him doesn't know is the award shows you guys are watching, they've already chosen the winners. All that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more scripted than pro wrestling.
It's literally just all scripted. It's just for, I don't know what it's for, honestly. It's literally just, I don't know, to fucking
it's for them to get worship from us, the plebs. And they've lost that because over the past several years, as they've sort of overestimated their market value to the rest of us, they've seen their ratings decline and decline and decline, especially with these award shows. So they need to realize that we are beholden to no one. We are not beholden to Hollywood. They are beholden to us. They are the jesters. They are the court jesters, the clowns, the minstrels, and the charlatans that are supposed to entertain us, not the other way around. And I think they've gotten way too full of themselves. And so that's why we're where we're at.
Yeah. And as you know, DC, unlike Marvel that had all that success, DC just started out bad and just kind of went downhill. Like,
dead company. Dead company. That's what that stands for.
It started out with Man of Steel, and it was divisive as hell. And I don't. Yeah. I. It's one of those movies I look back on and I go, I guess. Like, I don't hate it, but I don't love it. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't.
It's just there.
Yeah.
And it's not Cavill's fault. Cavill is a great cast for Superman. Yeah. But everything else about that movie, oh my god, I have trouble staying awake during a lot of those films, then, to be honest.
Didn't you have, like, you had all the movies afterwards, like BVS, and that was complete shit, and you had Suicide Squad, and that was just dog shit. Like,
I fell asleep during the Whedon cut of Justice League. I fell asleep
on BVS. At some point, I remember I fell asleep, and I just passed out. Like, this is boring as fuck. Sleep. That's why I got it for free.
That's where they've gone with it, and now they're like, they want James Gunn to save them. Here's the problem with James Gunn. A lot of people don't realize that James Gunn and his success with Guardians of the Galaxy is a bit of a fluke because it has almost no continuity to the original source material. And so you're going to put a guy who has no respect for source material in charge of the entirety of the DC universe, where DC's comic fans tend to be more aggressive than Marvel's fans about sticking to the source material.
Very much.
This is not going to go well.
Yeah, and the thing here with James Gunn is, you know, he had success with the Guardians movie to some degree. I can't really blame him for the Suicide Squad movie. That's already got too many factors against him. And I actually Suicide Squad movie. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good, honestly.
The second Suicide Squad movie had had Pete Davidson's head blow off within like the first 5 minutes. So A+ movie in my book. If more movies, let me tell you from Hollywood, the answer, more movies need to blow Pete Davidson's head off in the film, in Minecraft.
It's like, what can he... that's what I told people. He's already getting a DC... And we know this man. You've seen the box office numbers. The box office numbers shown that the average fan, like your moms, your stepmoms, your dads, your uncles, they've given up. Dude, Aquaman and Lost Kingdom made only like $150 million domestically. Or maybe... I think it was less. I think it made like 80-some million. These movies have been losing fans, bleeding money just constantly. I don't doubt his Superman movie is going to be bad. I think it's probably going to be the best one. But like after that, what do they have? Like, what, the Authority?
Yeah, no. The Authority is crazy.
I hope people don't understand this. Just because Guardians came out and it was a shocker one doesn't mean that can happen with every single product. Latching onto that. But it happened one time. It's only going to ever happen one time. That's it.
You know what? This is the problem with a lot of the modern... sort of Hollywood mentality is they think that lightning can strike twice. Yeah. And that's not always the case. For example, Black Panther 1 did very well. And then they thought it was because of Black Panther. It was because of Chadwick Boseman's portrayal of Black Panther. And you now no longer have Chadwick Boseman. So it's not like the way that... they thought they had a sure thing of Black Panther 2. The movie was like 3 hours long and full of nothing but identity politics. You know what's so good about the first one? And it didn't beat you over the head with the identity politic message. And the guy beating you over the head with identity politics was the villain. It was Killmonger, who was the identity politics guy. If anything, T'Challa had more in common with Donald Trump. He wanted to build a wall around Wakanda and keep everyone the hell out of here.
Well, the other thing for the first Black Panther movie is it actually had, because I didn't even watch the second one. I didn't bother with it after they didn't recast because People don't know this about movies. When a sequel comes out and a sequel doesn't have the main person attached to it from the previous movie, and people know he died, right? So that wasn't like a shocker. Yeah. Why would people want to watch an inferior product with the less Michael B. Jordan's not in it and he's gone? So why would I watch this then? Like, why would you watch it when they're the better people are literally one is dead and one is also dead in their universe?
Yeah, no exactly.
And no but, one I mean, you know, serious so, Black Panther. Fuck that. I'm good.
But the lightning striking twice is sort of also like example, like another example. Mm-hmm. Thor, Taika Waititi. Taika Waititi had a really fun movie with Ragnarok, right? Mm-hmm. That was the one that everybody liked. Just because he was able to make one good Thor movie does not mean he can make multiple good Thor movies. It was the right director for that right particular script and everything.
At the right time of Thor, too, because, you know, at the time, people thought Thor was boring, and I felt like that was because the direction of Thor. I like the Avenger movie, which Joss Whedon did. I feel like the subsequent appearances after that, Thor the Dark World, him in Age of Ultron. The reason why you got Ragnarok the way it was, because people thought Thor was boring. He's not a boring character at all. People actually read source material from Thor. He's actually the mythology around Valhalla and Odin. And
it's great. It's absolutely great.
Yeah. Kenneth Branagh did a great job in the first Thor movie setting all that up. And then he just, I agree with people, he got boring after the Avengers movie. So you got Ragnarok and people thought, wait, we need to do that again? No. People already saw it once. You can't surprise them again with that.
You can't go to the well twice. You ever watch a wrestling match and somebody hits a move off the top rope and instead of going for the pin, they go for the same move twice and they miss completely? That's what happens with Hollywood in these movies. They think just because they did it once, they can do it twice and everybody will just eat it up. And that doesn't work. It has less of an effect. It's a very simple term. It's called diminishing returns. And that's what they're seeing. And they refuse to acknowledge this. And by the way, the biggest thing they've gotten diminishing returns on is the whole wokeness identity politics narrative. How many of these female-centric girl power movies do you have to make before you stop making them? You saw the Marvels didn't do well. You saw Madame Web didn't do well. But even before that, Birds of Prey didn't do well. The Charlie's Angels reboot didn't do well. And it's not because of COVID. It's because the movies objectively sucked.
Men in Black 4 didn't work for them. Yeah. The Charlie's Angel 1 didn't work for them. The Ghostbusters 1 didn't work for them. They had many examples of that not working. People vehemently don't like those movies. Word of mouth on those movies are terrible. No one's... I try to, because people at my work, they're about as casual as you can get. I could ask like my boss, if you've seen this, she would just tell you it's trash. I asked people, you guys remember that Men in Black International? They were like, man, I forgot that existed. Yeah, because people forgot those existed because they were so bad, they chose to just erase them out of their brain to not make sure they don't exist. Remember the Predator 2018 one? That was about as bad as The Last Jedi. I chose to erase it out of my brain because it was so bad that Hollywood tried to make having a kid having autism be good. And it's like, no parent wants a kid having autism. That's not good, okay? Fucking hell, man. So it wasn't like they weren't warned that people didn't like this stuff. They just kept doing it because I don't know what reason. They try to fort. Their mindset was, okay, the first few attempts won't work, but eventually they'll just give in. Nope, that's not how it works.
What kills me is then they'll turn around and they have the audacity to go, why do you hate women? I don't hate women at all. I love women. Like, I love women. I mean, look, I just don't like that. Ugly, dumpy women who nag people to death. Or chicks and that's dicks. What you put all in your movies.
And we like real women born with vaginas and tits, not chicks with dicks. You know, you have to be naturally born a woman. You know, Dylan Mulvaney is not
in his music Mulvaney's video.
It's a trick.
Oh, boy. Dylan Mulvaney just... We watched a music video last week, and I just... You talk about wanting to wipe something from your memory. That's what I need from Ben in Black. I need the pen light so I could erase all memory of ever having watched that abomination from my mind. That was really rough. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's just this. How many times can you berate your audience before your audience says, okay, I'm done? And I think we're at that point.
Even the people, the fans are like, I don't like this. Can we not get this anymore? Like, I know Kevin Feige's on social media. He doesn't post, obviously, but he's reading these things. He's trying to, like, I guess social media is, like, the only way to gather, like, what people are generally interested in. He would have to have known that Captain Marvel probably arguably has some of the worst word of mouth. When people just generally talk about the MCU, I've been around many conversations with the MCU. How many have you been a part of where people are like, man, I really love that Captain Marvel movie. It's in my top 10.
Never.
Not even top 15, it'll break, right? People actively do not like that movie. And people said, I don't like Brie Larson. And Kevin Feige's like, you know what? We'll give you a sequel to that. But the fans said they didn't want it. They don't want
it. You know, one of my favorite Captain Marvel moments was, in terms of people talking about the movie, was I was at a restaurant with my girlfriend and we were talking about, like, I was talking about how my co-host made me watch the first one so that we could review it because he wanted us to know what we had to talk about, and it was an awful movie. And the waiter overheard us, came over there and talked to me for 45 minutes about how much he also hated that movie. Like, that's how, that, if that's your reaction to the movie, then your movie is done horribly wrong. Where the only thing people are talking about your movie is about how much it stunk, which is the problem. And here's the reality of it. It's not just so much Brie Larson. It's the character. It's the character. Every time that Captain Marvel has been tried in the comic book industry, the comic has failed. Same with Ironheart. Same with Miss Marvel. You can't make this a thing. If the comic had such low sales that nobody particularly liked it, it's probably a good educated guess that nobody is going to want to watch a movie or a TV show about it as well. And here's the thing about it. The only time that Carol Danvers was popular was when she was wearing the Thunderbolt leotard. And you had her ass cheeks out the way that Psylocke's ass cheeks were out during the entire 1990s.
John Cochran designed that onesie that you guys like that she wears, that was done by someone. And they, so what I've gathered basically is they consider that outdated.
Yeah.
That's why they don't use that design anymore. It's like, so the only design that people even recognize his character from, because it's that he drew it's a great design. I love that design of her.
Yeah,
it's too modern. No, it doesn't match our modern standards. All right, well, this character is nothing then. This character's worthless.
Here's the other thing. If you read a comic book before these people took over, Carol Danvers was relatively conservative as a character, like her mindset, her philosophies on things. I mean, Carol Danvers was, I mean, like literally like more of a conservative type of character in the way her mind works, as was Tony Stark. Tony Stark was not a progressive. He was a capitalist, all right? Mm-hmm. And guess what? In Civil War, who did she side with? She sided with Tony. Why is that? You know, because they have a lot of the same value system. So, you know, back then, you could have characters that had, you know, different values politically and disagree and be okay. But then Donald Trump happened and it broke their brains and they had to make everybody a fucking progressive. You know, I mean, to a point where you've got Captain America saying, well, I don't like the country I represent. Steve Rogers, in all the time that I've read comics, would have never said something like that. But they've now made that the norm in their version, their iteration of Captain America. You know,
even in comic books, like you mentioned earlier, Captain Marvel has had like 3 reboots, actually. Yeah. They're on another one right now, and it's up to like issue number 6. I've heard no one talk about it. No one buy it. These are not pop. The reason why, I'll tell you people, so you guys can understand this. The MCU took several risks when they started, obviously. But after that, they started banking on the characters that work for them. Those risks made sense when they first started because they had no building or a foundation at the time, right? And they built the foundation with those characters. Well, then if people like those characters, you need to keep giving them more of those characters because those are the characters they want to throw the money at you for. Like, if you talk to like 5 of your family members, even your mom, just ask your mom, like, hey, mom, what would you rather see? Iron Man 4 with RDJ, if you would come back, or any of these characters. I flat out guarantee you she's going to say RDJ Iron Man. Exactly. Promise you. People want to see stories based around the actual Captain America, the white one, Iron Man. They want to see stories. Thor still has some sway. Like, it didn't make profit from Love and Thunder, but people still show that they want to see that character. Give people the popular characters you had them early invest into. Nope. Even when Eternals was created back in the day, nobody liked them. Nobody liked them then. Nobody likes them now. Those are characters you can't make work because nobody just likes them. No one gives a fuck about those characters.
You know, here was another problem that they refuse to acknowledge is that even if you have good characters, if the movie is just crap, the movie is just crap. Case in point, Iron Man 3. Iron Man 3 is not a good movie. However, people grit their teeth and watched it just because it was Iron Man 3. But for the most part, if you talk to people, they didn't like that movie. And it's pretty far down there. You know, Thor Dark World, another movie that was a bit of a stinker here. You know, even when you have those characters, if you have a movie that isn't particularly good, people are going to say that movie wasn't good. And you have to respond to that feedback by making a better movie, not by saying, well, there's nothing wrong with our movie. Our movie was perfect. There's something wrong with you, you bigot. Why don't you like our movie? Our movie was the best. No, it wasn't. That's why we're telling you this, so that you can do better next time. But, you know, instead they go, we don't have to do better. You need to do better. You need to address your microaggressions, like you said, and your bigotry. Don't you know we had 17 women work on this movie? Like, I don't know. I didn't know that, nor did I care. It wouldn't change my opinion of your movie. Your movie stunk. Do something about it.
Yeah, to be fair, like, most people are so casual when it comes to this stuff, man. All they care about is what's on the screen. That's all they care about. Yeah. The process of it is something that we kind of know because we're doing this. But the average person just wants to see something good on the screen. Like, if the first thing they go on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook and see, hey, the executive said, you are a bigot for not liking this, and we do not condone misogyny and all our gay shit, that they're going to be like, what the fuck? I just got off work and I took my kids to see a movie and that makes me a bigot. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. These people are so out of touch. Like they have not met a normal human being in so long that they're just completely insane. At this point, they're not making movies for you and I. They're making movies for themselves. They're making movies for themselves so that their little circle, they could all just jerk each other off in a circle. And the thing is, they don't realize that people are sick of it. And by the way, here's the problem. It is you can only get bailed out and floated out so many times. And I think at the end of the day, that's probably the reason that they don't want Trump in office, is because if Hollywood sinks, he's not going to bail them out. But if Hollywood sinks under a Biden administration, we've seen before that the Biden administration is willing to give them money to subsidize them, because they've asked, hey, we're failing. We need help from the government. Which, by the way, is bad, because when your government gets involved with your entertainment, that's when you get propaganda. And this is where we're at. So you know, I would like to see all entertainment divorce itself from the politics. And, you know, I've always said, you know, I don't even like to talk about politics in my gaming or my movies or anything.
Yeah.
But they've made it a force of necessity, because you have to push back against what they're selling you.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was fine in 2016 being left alone. And then Ghostbusters happened. It was a bad movie. And their first thing was to jump on the politics, call you a misogynist, call you a racist, call you a bigot, call you a basement dweller.
That movie.
Yeah.
I was like, bruh, I'm not even a Ghostbusters fan, nor do I care what that franchise has to offer. I'm not interested. Yeah. I was like, bruh, that trailer looked like ass.
Yeah.
That trailer looks like shit. I remember they premiered that trailer when I watched Civil War the first time. And I remember when it was over, guy got up and was like, what the fuck was this shit? Like, I remember people watched the trailer and we all cringed out of our buttholes. We're like, what the fuck is that?
I have seen parts of that movie that I wish that I could unsee, because it was just not funny. It was not amusing. It fell flat. And instead of acknowledging that, they pretty much blamed everybody else for it. And that was sort of the first real firing shot, because it was that and the first Gamergate, where they were really coming at people hard with a lot of this BS. And I looked at that and I said, why are you coming for my video games? Why are you coming for my movies? I didn't do anything to you. I'm not involved in your political war. And then it went from that to, you know, obviously it went from, I'm just not going to vote for Hillary Clinton, to I'm flat out supporting Trump. Like, because of the fact that, again, I've never liked Hillary Clinton. I didn't like her because she was very censorious when video games were, you know, around during the days of like Doom, Mortal Kombat, Night Trap. You know, where she was one of those people with Tipper Gore, Joe Lieberman, all these people who wanted to censor video games. And I said, you know what? Instead of censoring video games, why don't you leave us the hell alone? And I said, if that woman ever runs for president, I will do everything I can to make sure that woman does not get elected. Lo and behold, 20 years later, she is running for president. I'm like, absolutely not. But, you know, again, I wasn't paying attention to politics like I do now. I was just trying to play my video games, watch my movies, and be left the hell alone. And that's what happens when you don't leave people alone. You do find that there will be a pushback. How many people would have been content not getting involved in anything politically or anything any other way had they just stayed out of video games and kept just making movies that were normal, not with all these progressive woke politics? If you want to win, you know, if y'all leftists wanted to win, all you had to do was leave us alone. Because we would have just been like, I don't really care about politics one way or the other. You know, I guess the prices are getting high, but whatever.
Star Wars Twitter account. Remember when Obi-Wan Kenobi was going to come out back in 2021? The tweet was, I'm pretty sure you remember, the caption was, there's a billion galaxies in the universe. Don't choose to be racist. And it's like, hello?
Yeah.
I'm so glad I need the Star Wars Twitter account to tell me to not be a racist. I never knew I needed that in my life. And I was like,
yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't know I needed Star Wars to tell me that.
Yeah. Star Wars, the people that talk about the rebellion.
Yeah, exactly. Rebellion against,
like, the leaders. Like, what the hell?
And the irony is, I think a lot of it is the reason that they're like this is because they're so detached from reality that they conflate fantasy and reality to a point that the two are indistinguishable, because they basically treat Trump like Voldemort.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and for ages they were like, he who should not be named about Trump, and they were comparing it. This is like when Voldemort took over Hogwarts. And then J.K. Rowling said she does not like trans people in her bathroom. And they don't know what to do now. Like, they're screwed.
They tried doxing her earlier today. Yeah. Like, people have gone insane. These people have literally gone insane.
That thing is, yeah, and this is somebody who, by the way, Rowling agrees with almost everything else on the left except that one issue. And they think that, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you have to agree with everything they've ever thought, felt, and any connection in life they've ever had. That's it.
100%. You are never far left enough for the left. And so my take on it is, why would I even bother? And I don't want to be. I simply want to be. And here's a novel idea. I just want to be an individual that does what I feel like, when I feel like, on my terms. I want to live life on my terms, not on yours, leftists. Just leave me the hell alone. You do you, I do me. Stay out of my business and stay out of my way. And that's the thing. It's people who want to be left alone versus people who never leave them alone. So that's why
kids alone. I don't know what their obsession is with kids. These fucking weird pedophilic people. These are just disgusting. They're just weird individuals. Like, they talk about kids as if, like, it's just disgusting.
Drag queen story hours and whatnot.
What is their obsession with kids? Like, and you would think, even if we disagree politically about all this stuff, you'd at least think kids would be the one where it's like, okay, yeah, you know, leave kids alone on anything. Kids can be left alone in anything. But no, they're like, oh, kids are old enough to know all this stuff. And it's like, you're a weirdo. You say it to anybody in real life, because we know they're disconnected. Go up to a person and be like, your kid can understand oral sex at 3 years old. That mom might just beat you up. That she will literally just... That's what you said earlier, which makes a lot of sense. You are disconnected from reality. Go up to someone, go up to a family with their kid that might be 3 years old, 4 years old, and talk about oral sex in front of them. They will beat you up. And I'm glad that happened, actually.
Exactly.
They will never do this in real life. They can only say that on televised broadcasts they have to themselves around echo chamber of audiences that listen to that bullshit.
What's absolutely demented about these people is that all they care about is disagreeing with people who aren't part of their cult, to the point that all you have to say is leave kids alone. And like, well, no, because you said this, right?
Yeah.
So it's like they've gotten to the point where, again, where you can say the sky is blue and they will come up with some sort of whacked out psychotic answer, you know, just to disagree with you. And that's how far they've gone. I mean, we saw an article this week, the deep state are the good guys. have we just completely lost the plot here? I feel like we're less than a full 3 months into 2024, and already this year it is on a level of honks that I did not think was possible compared to 2022 and 2023, which were both pretty bad years, but ain't got nothing on 2024, and we're only about 2.5 months into it.
It's even worse. The presidential elections coming up later this year, it's going to get worse.
Oh, and that's exactly why all this is heating up, Gamergate 2 and everything else. If you remember the last time that Trump got elected, we were in the middle of all the Gamergate drama.
I remember that, yeah.
The reality with that is, again, they need to justify their wages. A lot of these companies, Kotaku, Verge, PC Gamer, a lot of fat being trimmed from these corporations because there's no upside to keeping them. This is the greatest gift to Kotaku and their continued existence that could ever happen. They need Gamergate 2 to justify their wages. Because without Gamergate 2, they were about to be completely cut, just like Deadspin, because there's nobody wants to read an article about how the game Stray is somehow racist against Asians. The game about a stray cat is somehow... What is wrong with you people? How do you make the mental gymnastics that it takes to think that? It's astounding.
I swear, dude, games journalists might be not the most retarded people on this planet, but they're like the most lowest IQ motherfuckers ever. Like, a games dev could come on and be like, I think that all kids should blah 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 before they're 18. And then a games journalist fucking website like Kotaku would go, you know, I know you guys are outraged right now, but here's the context of why they're writing. It's like, what is wrong with people? I just don't get it. I swear, because, like, I'm pretty sure you've seen, like, the esports industry that's been having a lot of issues. The game industry's been having a lot of issues. Like, Sony announced just, like, 2 weeks, like last week, that we had all those mass layoffs that have happened. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of layoffs from Activision and Blizzard because it merged with Microsoft. Like the gaming industry, mm-hmm. just in general, because it's the esport industry.
It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable in this form. And you think about it. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. When a movie bombs, obviously, mm-hmm. there's problems financially, right? But that's exponentially worse when a video game doesn't sell because of the amount of time, production, the value that goes into that. You think about, again, video games are more expensive at usually $60, $70 a pop. That's a lot of money you're not making. And so a lot of these companies are finding themselves trimming the fat. And a lot of people don't realize that it goes beyond just the wokeness. It's also the waste. Mm-hmm. And what I mean about the waste in Silicon Valley is what was revealed to us when Elon Musk took over Twitter and converted it into X. There were a lot of videos coming out prior to Elon Musk's arrival, how X operated, where there was, like he said, where there's almost 90% of this company that doesn't do anything. And they would go to work, they would clock in, they would eat a $35 lunch on the company dime, they would go tan on the roof, and bleach their butthole on the roof, and then come down for a 5-minute meeting. Oh, work is just really hard. I had a 5-minute meeting today. But I also drank wine all day and got to tan. And I got to play on my computer and I got to do this. But I also got to ban like three incel chuds who don't like Hillary Clinton. Like, and that's how, but that's how all these companies are. All these companies are engaging in the waste where they have people that don't have, you know, they have like maybe like 5% of the company that they actually need. And then the other like 95% are people who are bleaching their butthole, drinking expensive wine,
taking great, company
trips. Yeah, they're on permanent vacation. And that's sort of the, and they believe they're entitled to that. I mean, you look at Rockstar Games and how people became so entitled, they don't want to go back to work physically in the office, which also, again, mirrors what Elon Musk did when he picked up Twitter. He said, I'm canceling work from home. You have to work in the office. And if you don't, then see you later. And all of them, Rockstar Games did the same thing. Now, how many of these companies have not gotten rid of that probably still have a great portion of their people working from home, collecting a paycheck to not do a damn thing? And so the reality is, I think the free ride is over. I don't think that's a sustainable market. I think a lot of these people do need to be cut. You look at how inefficient video games are now.
Dude. Like, person in charge of, like, diversity, like what? Yeah. That is an actual job, a chief officer of diversity. I thought that was a legit made up job because that sounds like not a thing. It's, I'm not kidding you guys because BlackRock and all these other companies have invested in these companies.
Vanguard,
they have freaking holy crap, a chief officer of diversity.
Mm-hmm. And they've all got them. And you know what's the funny thing? If you look at the LinkedIn of most of those diversity officers, it's former intern Clinton administration, former intern Obama administration, former intern Biden administration, former VP of sales Disney. Like they all run in all of the same circles. It's just a snake eating itself. It's just they're just literally eating up their own vomit over and over again. I mean, you know, even in the games, you know, when you look at how the games are, we're at the point where games become so inefficient. We're getting games that are like 90 gigabytes, 112 gigabytes, 86 gigabytes. And it's like, damn, your game is like so inefficient that it takes up that much hard drive space. Mm-hmm. And where is this space? Because I see a game coming out of Japan, and the game would be like 20 gigabyte, you know, 18 gigabyte, you know, like maybe 35 gigabyte. Like, how come Japan is so much more efficient at coding their games, whereas the American Silicon Valley game developer isn't even trying at this point? They're just making the games heavier because they you know, it's almost like the penis size of gaming. They think that having a larger file size means having a larger penis. And you know, look at Starfield and how much space that takes. And it wasn't a good game. You were more concerned about making a big game to worry about whether or not you were making a good game. I played that game for 2 hours and I still don't know what the hell I just played because that game was boring as all hell. I mean, I loved Fallout 3. I loved Fallout New Vegas. I loved Elder Scrolls, Skyrim, and Oblivion. So why is it that the same developers put out such a boring, steaming turd like Starfield?
And they wonder why the Xbox sales have been just tanking. Has anybody even really, like, outside of the PlayStation, the Xbox really has lost the plot since the 360. Mm. I mean,
absolutely.
The Xbox One X, I'm pretty sure that was the one before, then it's now the Xbox Series X, and it's like, who really has an Xbox anymore? Like, I'm just saying, like, Xbox is really falling off a cliff.
I think console gaming is falling off a cliff a lot too, because PS5, you know, not particularly doing great with their first party titles. The majority of them do eventually show up on PC. But I also think that the rise of people playing on PC has come from a lot of this wokeness and a lot of the social justice mandating. Because what you have are a lot of these modders that will mod a PC game, and they will mod out the parts of the game that annoy people. Like we saw with the first Spider-Man, they put LGBT flags everywhere, and there were mods to remove that. Hogwarts Legacy, there were mods to remove the transsexual character's voice and change the synthesize of the voice. And so you're having a lot of that. There are mods to remove a lot of the gay quips out of Baldur's Gate that may have made some people uncomfortable. And so what's happening is you're seeing people gravitate more towards the PC because of that agency of being able to remove parts of the game that they do not like. And so I think that that's going to hurt PC gaming, or that's going to hurt console gaming in the long run, as people realize, yeah, hey, I could get the same experience. And you are also seeing that even with Nintendo, when you have a system that can be completely emulated and in better condition on a PC than its inherent native system with the Switch. Mm-hmm. And of course, Nintendo went crazy over the Yuzu situation a couple of weeks ago because of that.
Right.
Because again, you could run your Zelda game at 60 FPS, on the emulator, and you can't run it at 60 FPS on the Switch.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you, which is as you got to head out in a little bit, getting a little late for you, I imagine. Mm-hmm. What are some of the big plans you got for yourself coming up this year?
Well, this year, obviously, a lot of work. So that's a big thing. A lot of work, In real life, I just literally keep. I start the day off at a run pretty much every morning, but I plan to just keep working, keep doing what I got to do. Obviously, I want to continue to grow Canceless Podcast. We're trying to do daily videos. I try to do more game streams at night a lot of the time. Usually that's when I wind down. I usually like a lot of time people are like, oh well, you stream real late at night. I'm like, you know why I stream late at night? Because it's the only time people leave me the hell alone in my real life during the day to let me have the peace and quiet to game. I know Matt Walsh doesn't like that, but I don't see any difference from somebody playing a game to wind down after they've worked all day, taking care of their family, taking care of their bills and responsibilities, than sitting down to watch a movie or sitting down to watch a sports game. If you want to play, like I get there are some people that have no lives.
I get it too. There are gamers can be like fucking weirdos. I can hear from both sides.
I had a friend he was one of these stereotypical gamers when he was young. He's grown up since then. But he worked with me at Toys R Us growing up. I worked in the video game section of Toys R Us. And he was so addicted to video games that his wife was 8 months pregnant, and we held a donation to get money for him to pay for his child's like diapers and food and everything. Because of the fact that he wasn't making a whole lot of money, he wasn't making a whole lot of hours. Right. One of the people in the back said, I refuse to give him money. And I'm like, don't be like that. Why are you being like that? And she said, because his dumb ass going to buy a video game with it. All right. So I said, nah, he can't be that stupid. So everyone got him about $300.
That's okay.
And so we give it to him. He goes over to the PS2s, which at the time PS2s were $300. Grabs a PS2. And proceeds to ring out with his motherfucker. I was ready to kill him myself. Like, I'm like, and she's looking at me like the person that worked in the back, and she's just looking at me and trying not to laugh. And I'm like, don't say a thing, because I'm not in the mood. 2 weeks later, he had to sell it to pay for the kids' diapers and food and formula. And he had to bring it back to GameStop, where you get like an eighth of what that thing is worth.
Yeah.
Absolutely stupid. Now he's grown up since then. Now he works his ass off, takes care of his kids. He does what he has to do. At the end of the day, he games, and he mostly games with his kid. Now he's grown up and realized like a lot of those things that he didn't realize when he was a young man. So yes, I get that some people could be very irresponsible, but that is the exception, not the rule. And a lot of the people who act that way are doing it from a place of immaturity and not from experience. And once they experience life and get hit hard by life, they realize not to do that. But yeah, for this year, I want to just really continue to put out good content, good podcasts, good videos. I think that we're going to need a lot of voices in this culture war that we're dealing with, because I think it's going to ramp up hardcore in 24 because it's an election year, because of the politics involved, because of these people want to silence us now more than ever. You see how aggressive they came out of. They came out a nice Brazilian kid who was just trying to say, here's a list of what they put out and don't buy it. Don't buy it. If you don't agree with him, don't buy it. And he's not being rude or mean, or he's not saying harass these people or threaten these people or dox these people. he simply said, I don't want to spend money on these games. And they said, they literally did the gladiator, like the Joaquin Phoenix thumbs down on him, you know? And it's like, come on, Lee, you know, like if that's where we're at, then we need all hands on deck to sort of shift this culture. And I think that, that we've all kind of had enough of this, this sort of woke culture we're being shoved down our throats. So I think 24 is going to be the year where we see the tide change. Absolutely.
The last thing I'll ask you is any shout out you want to give to anyone in particular, anything else you want to say before we head out?
Well, I just want to, again, shout out, you know, we've also just let you know, we do have a Gilded server. So shout out to the people on our Gilded. We have gilded.gg/cancelispodcast. And it's just like sort of a server where people can talk and game and yeah, chill and talk about games and culture like we're doing now. Because of the fact that, again, I do see that some of these platforms like Discord has sort of gone more, gotten involved in the cultural space in a negative capacity. So some of these, you know, embrace alternatives. That's all I'm going to say is embrace alternatives like Rumble, like Odyssey, you know, BitChute, Gilded, you know, everything that is mainstream that you like, there is an alternative to. And it's high time to embrace those alternatives because you don't want to be ass out when they turn on you. And they will. They will. If you're not part of their narrative, they will throw you out. So insulate yourself from that, everybody. That's the one thing I do have to say. So, you know, shout out to everybody making it on alt tech. Shout out to all of you who are possibly a little too crude for YouTube because, you know, again, it's going to be a crazy year. I think YouTube's going to get crazier this year, too, with some of the stuff that they do, especially the closer we get to November. So they're one to watch, you know. And I've already made a couple changes that have hit some of the true crime podcasts on here recently, you know.
Yeah, and thank you for coming out for the first time, man. It was great talking to you.
Definitely,
for the first
it was time. Great. Anytime, can't wait to have man.
You for you know, second this time in the future. Yeah, yeah, it was great. Finally got a chance to get it done, set up. You got any hot single ladies who want to, you know, get BBC? Just you know, let me know. You know, just slide them my way. You know,
so have them slide into the DMs.
Just slide into a black guy's DM. You're getting thrusted in. Just saying. Jesus. Well,
that was a good one.
We'll see you guys later. I have to go do something after this. Later on, around 8 PST, I'll have another one-on-one. At 9:30 PST, we have Wednesday Top Gs, and I might just chill in game. That's what I told people, like, I'm not even, like, I've never been super, I love video games, and I, am I addicted to video games? I would say so, but I've never let it get to a point where I sacrificed my life, like, important things in my life, like, not pay my bills, or...
Exactly, and I think that's more, that's not about the hobby, that's about the person. Like, a person who's that compulsive will get that compulsive with anything, whether it's gambling, drinking, anything. So you know, it's definitely not gamers. I think, if anything, gaming has kept me from doing a lot of crazy shit in real life. You know, the gaming is helping keep, the gaming is my therapy. It's stopped me from going GTA in real life. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you guys for checking out this episode of the Iron Man Podcast, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out, everybody. Deuce.